Amen. Jonah chapter number 3. Appreciate the good singing. Appreciate that song in his time. Remember setting the alarm clock and wake up. I won't say real early in the morning, but wake up in the morning. And a lot of junk on the radio, but it's good when you wake up hearing something like that. And I know two or three different times that was an encouragement to me to help me start the day. And thank God he answers prayer. Amen. Jonah chapter number 3. If you find your place, let's all stand if you would. Jonah chapter number 3. I'd never preached out of the book of Jonah, but maybe when I first started preaching. And when I very first started preaching, I remember, I think it was only about the third or fourth time I got to preach. And church asked me to come. And while their pastor was gone, and I was preaching out of this on Arise, O Sleeper, and Call on Thy God, and I didn't have no more sense. There was a lady, she'd kept falling asleep. And by the time I come to a good point, I said, we need to wake up on God. Well, she woke up for a couple of minutes, she went back to sleep. So I'll try to keep you awake this morning, all right? Let's look here in the book of Jonah, chapter number 3. The Lord give us a series out of this book, and I'm going to try to break it down in a message for you today. The Bible says in Jonah 3 and verse number 1, the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did yet not. For sake of a title this morning, notice the first three words that this Ninevite king said in verse number 9. He said, who can tell? I want to preach on that thought here for just a little while. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your touch and your help. God, I pray that you just calm my nerves this morning. I pray that you'd help the Word of God to come out in a way that would be a help to your people, and Lord, a charge unto all of our hearts and our lives, our homes and our churches. I pray you'd touch me, God. I need your help this very minute. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to say, first of all, that I believe that the book of Jonah is the inspired Word of God, don't you? And Jesus Christ believed that it was the inspired Word of God. And he spoke of Jonah, and he spoke of the book of Jonah, and he said that it was a whale that swallowed Jonah. And I don't have any problem believing that, do you? And so Jonah, what a great book that it is. And if all men denied it, the Bible said over there in the book of Romans chapter number 3, for what if some do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And Paul said, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. And the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I believe there's a lot of things that the book of Jonah teaches us about that we need in this day. Hey, I seen last night, thank God for the man of God that told us about Islam, but you know who the greatest enemy of America is today? It is a holy God. That's the biggest enemy of America. You say, He is that. He's the only one that can keep the Muslims off of us. And dear friend, I wonder who's going to get us first, the Sodomites or the Muslims. And the only one that can keep them off of us this morning is a holy God. And I believe what we need today is get back to holiness and righteousness. You'll find there was three different people that repented in the book of Jonah. You'll find there was a saint of God, a man that was no doubt a child of God, and he had to repent from fleeing away from the presence of God. And then you'll find that there were some sinners that repented. I understand some say, well, the book of Jonah teaches us about a great revival. As far as I understand, it wasn't a revival, it was a viving. Some sinners got saved by believing in God. Is that right? And thank God, but Jonah had he could have been revived if he hadn't got to sucking his thumb like the preacher said this morning. And then there was a sovereign holy God that repented and turned from the evil that he said that he would do unto them. From some things we can learn about the book of Jonah, we've lost the right perspective about the God of the Bible. I'm not talking about this world. You know why this world don't have the right perspective of God? God's people don't have the right perspective of God. You'll find in the book of Jonah, it teaches us that God is a God. The God of the Bible is to be the feared authority in our life. He's to be the feared authority. Jonah down there is like a lot of Baptists today. I mean, he's going down, floating away from the presence of God, and they come and said, "Who's your God? What's your occupation?" And he said, "I fear the Lord God of heaven." He wasn't fearing God right then, was he? Hey, we got a lot of religious talk in our day, and our country says we're a God-fearing nation. A God-fearing nation don't murder babies. A God-fearing nation don't condone sodomy. A God-fearing nation and church doesn't gloat in immodesty and ungodliness and unholiness. Hey, God is a God to be feared. He said, "I fear God," and thank God later they said, "We fear God." He's a God to be feared this morning because He has control over man. He has control over man. I mean, no matter how much they rowed to try to bring that ship to land, God wouldn't allow it to happen. There's a prophet down there, and God's going to teach him a lesson, dear friend. Hey, wasn't it a sad thing that Jonah, when they said, "What can we do to stop this storm?" And he said, "Well, just throw me in the water." He'd rather die, Brother Clark, in the ocean than to obey Almighty God. I'm afraid we've got some people like that today, it seems like. He'd rather die in that sea than just mind God. I believe, Brother Clark, if he'd said, "Just turn the boat around, God told me where to go, and I need to get back to it," I believe it'd been a different story, don't you? God is a God to be the feared authority in our life. We're living in a day where there's no fear of God in any man's eyes. He's to be the feared authority. That's the God of the Bible. He wants us to fear Him in a reverent way because He's holy and He's righteous and He ain't going to change. He's not only a God that ought to be the feared authority, but He's a God, the God of the Bible, is a God of fierce anger. They said there in verse number 8 of chapter number 3, he said, "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands." Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? The people in churches today and certainly the world have lost that view of Almighty God, has lost that view that He's a God of ought to be the feared authority. He's a God of fierce anger, righteous indignation, and He hates sin. This Bible said He's angry at the wicked every day. He's angry at the wicked every day. I'm glad He has mercy on the wicked. That's why He sent Jonah down there. And the Bible said in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Go down unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, because their wickedness has come up before me." This land is filled with wickedness and ungodliness, and they need the right view of God. I'm glad that God
It ought to be the fear of authority and the God of fierce anger. Brother Richardson, He's a God with a forgiving attitude. Aren't you glad of that? I deserve hell this morning. Hey, down there, Jonah, after he went and preached and those people got saved, he said, "Our God, I knew you. You're a God of great kindness. You're a gracious God and a merciful God. There's a man coming to our church and he left and went out dealing with some other things. But he said, I read in the Old Testament and God just don't have any mercy on anybody. You understand, God always gave a warning. And God always warned. He delights in mercy this morning. And He's a God of a forgiving attitude. I'm glad as children of God, if we can confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the verses before that said, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. I'm glad He's a God of a forgiving attitude, aren't you? This book gives us give us the right perspective about God. That feared authority, He had power over man. He had power over the waves and the sea. He had power over the storms that day. He had power over everything. And thank God He still does. It looks like this world's being controlled by the devil, but God can take care of it. Thank God He's on the throne this morning. He's high and lifted up, and He's still got all power. Hey, Jesus come out of that tomb, and He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Book of Jonah, give us the right perspective about God. I wonder, is God the feared authority in your life? And I wonder. Hey, I'm not perfect, but it's a sad shape I've seen a lot of people in today. I mean, ungodliness, even in the church house, ungodliness. These Muslims coming after us, they ain't going to have much of a trouble. Most all everybody does, even Christians, everywhere they go, if they just got their head down all the time doing something, and it ain't praying. I mean, the Muslims are on their face. Hey, this is the truth, dear friend. Hey, they just got their face down. They've got all this stuff to do, all this stuff to look at, and all of that. And the world's being taken over by wickedness and ungodliness. We better turn back to God. You know what we need to do? Dear friend, I personally believe God's done with America. But I'm not God. And the judgment's going to have to... We're under judgment. There's going to have to be a harsh judgment if there's going to be any revival. I believe that. It may be hundreds of years, 50. I don't know how long it might be. And I'm preaching this Ninevite king. Give a message. Who can tell if God will turn? I don't know how long it's going to be before the Lord comes. Who can tell what's going to take place? And maybe that persecution, Brother Watts, that will come from them will get the church on their face again. Get them back in the house of God. Maybe that's what it will take. But who can tell? I'll say, first of all, in Jonah's life, he had to get back in the presence and the will of Almighty God. Now, that didn't happen until he started praying in chapter number 2. In chapter number 2, Jonah prayed scripturally. You'll find that whole chapter number 2 is all of the Word of God. Jonah prayed scripturally. And we need to get back to scripturally praying. I'm glad the Bible said in 1 John 5, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And I'm glad of that this morning. We need to get back to praying scripturally. We need to get back to praying, dear friend, fervently. He is down there in that whale's belly. He said, out of the belly of hell cried I. Hey, he's saying it wasn't a pleasant place. We need to get back to where we're wailing and crying out to God again for a nation that's going to hell and a nation that's being overrun. And dear friend, we're seeing it in our day. This preacher talking last night about the birth rate in our country. I mean, we had 2 kids and somebody come up and said, all them years, all 2 of them. And then, you know, when we had 3 of them, oh, it's terrible. And then the grandparents got to talking, all right? Then you had 4 of them. They said, you know, they're not going to be able to come over to our house if you have more than that. It's a sad day that we're living in. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. That's what this book says right here. You know what the problem is? You know what's wrong with my children? Me. That's what's wrong. And what's wrong with having a bunch of children? If you have a bunch of run around like you, that's the trouble in it. Well, it's tight here today. I'll just preach, all right? Who can tell? He prayed scripturally. He prayed, dear friend, fervently, and he prayed thankfully. He said there in verse number 9, he said, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. Salvation is of the Lord." Hey, we need to get to praying again. We need to get to calling on God. I believe that God could do great things that we couldn't imagine. This Bible tells us, the Bible said he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. We need some Holy Ghost praying again. We're too busy. Too busy in things that ain't going to matter. He started praying. And he needed to get back in the presence of God. I'm afraid where we're at is like Jonah. It says here in verse number 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Now, you notice something here about Jonah. The Bible said the word of the Lord. I'm glad the word of the Lord came to me, aren't you? I wouldn't have known I needed to be saved. Thank God if the man of God hadn't preached the word. I'm glad I've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And Peter said, "All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away." He said, "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Jonah here is the son of Amittai. That name Amittai means truthfulness or truth. And the name Jonah means dove. Here is a man begotten of truth who is a dove. Does that ring a bell? Here's a man, Amittai. James 1:18 said of his own will. Have y'all been there? Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. Of his own will. And thank God he indwelt us by the Holy Ghost. So here's verse 1 and 2. Here's a man born of truth. He's a dove, the Holy Ghost. And thank God, God showed him exactly what the will for his life was. He said, "Jonah, Mr. Born of Truth, son of Amittai, you dove, my will is for you to go down to Nineveh in that great city and cry against it." What's the next word in chapter and verse number 3? But. Is that where you're at? You know what God's told you to do? But. Here's where you're at. Somewhere along the line, you fled away from the presence of God. Somewhere along the line, too many of God's people have fled from the presence of God. He's fled. I don't know what it is this morning. Hey, I ain't always wanting to do what God wanted me to do. I've wanted to run. I've wanted to. Hey, but God put something inside of my heart. And when I want to quit between services, brother, and thank God that verse has still come to my mind where Jeremiah said, "I said, I'll not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." He said, "I was weary with forebearing, and I could not stay." Maybe that's where you're at tonight. This morning, I don't know where you're at, but Jonah, this born again, born of the word, servant of God, with the direct will of God made plain to him, is fleeing away from the presence of God. And then he starts finding. He's fleeing. You start fleeing from God, you'll start finding other things take your time and your attention. And that's where we're at. God's people ain't worried about meeting. They're not worried about praying. Hey, they're not worried about giving. They're not worried about souls dying and going to hell. They've fled from the presence of Almighty God, the will of their life, and they're fleeing. They're fleeing from that. And the Bible says there in verse number 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship." Hey, I promise you, dear friend, the devil will help you find anything he can help you find to get you out of the presence of Almighty God. Too many people need to get off the football fields. Get out of the movie theaters. I'm talking about God's people, so-called. Get off the phones. Get off the computers. I know this don't set well. I'm going to preach it anyway. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm telling you one reason I don't want one of them things is I'm the type I just get drenched in it. But we're seeing it today. You spend more time texting or blogging than you do praying and reading, dear friend. We're in a bad shape. You're not going to get in the presence of God with a phone in your hand all the time. And we're not going to get in the presence of God with a newspaper in our hand all the time. Hey, we need to get back in the presence of God. He's fleeing. He's finding. What gets more of your time that you found? Maybe there was a time the Bible brought a tear to your eye. It brought joy to your heart, but you found something else to do that. Is this striking a chord? I promise you, I'm not being a smart aleck. I want to help you. I want to help you if I can, and let the Lord help you. I believe this. Who can tell what God's going to do? I promise you, we don't get back into the presence of God. Our country is gone. He's fleeing. Now he's fled from the presence of the Lord. He's found something. Now he's just floating. Just floating in it. Further and further. Further away from the presence of God. You feel that way today? You say, we're in church on Friday morning, preacher. You can feel that way and be in church all the time. He's been fleeing. He's finding something else, some other direction than the direction of God in his life. He's floating along slowly. Yeah, I felt that way sometimes in the Christian life, and I guess there'll be seasons like that, Brother Clark. Just feel like you're not doing much. You're just floating along. But the best of my ability, from what I since I've been going, I'm not saying it won't go that way. I've not been floating out of the presence and the will of God. I've been floating, felt like just didn't know which way to go. But Jonah knew what he was supposed to be doing, and he's floating, and he paid the fare thereof. He's going to keep paying it. He's going to keep paying it. He's going down, down, down. He's going further and further. Hey, we need to get back in the presence of God. It's not going to work, Brother Richardson, just to have church. It's not going to work just to come in here and say we're Christians. We got to get in the closet again. We got to get in the Bible again. We need to fast and pray and seek God again. Who can tell what God will do? Hey, I've got children that need to be born again. I want church to be revived, but I tell you what's worse than that. I want my children to get born again. Who can tell if we get back in the presence and the will of God, what God will do, what God can still do great things. God is able, dear friend. This born again, this man begotten of truth, this dove, Jonah, he's not in the presence and will of God for his life. He prayed. He prayed, and the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Thank God. I'm glad God don't leave me alone. Whoo! Ain't you glad God don't leave you alone? You don't know how wicked I am. The only wickedness I know about you is what this book tells me. But dear friend, I don't have a desire for wickedness. I don't have a desire for unrighteousness in the inward man. But I'm glad, thank God, for that sweet Holy Ghost. That'll come to me time and time again and say, what, know you not that your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, because you're bought with a price. I'm glad, thank God, that He bought me. Thank God for that this morning. I want to press on for till He comes. Who can tell what He's going to do for the church? Who can tell what He's going to do for the country? Hey, but who can tell what He's going to do for our homes? Just floating along, mom and daddy trying to raise those kids. Just floating along. You'll find something else to take. The devil will help them find something else to take up their time. Jonah. Hey, this king... What that happened, those sinners getting saved, it wasn't until Jonah started praying in the fish's belly. And Jonah repented and turned to God.
And he comes down here. The Bible says in verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Thank God that He called me to preach. I don't deserve to stand before you this morning, but I'm glad October 1st, 2000, over 14 years ago, God called me to preach that Sunday morning. I was scared to death to preach. I didn't know what to do. I dropped speech class in secular college about four times. I wasn't standing up there. I said, God, I don't know what to say. He said, there's a whole book of what to say. I laid on the altar down there and got on my face, and the pastor come by. He said, how can I help you? I said, how do you turn it all over to God? He said, I don't No, stay there till you do. I don't know how exactly myself, but I want to. I just want to give Him everything, don't you? I want to preach to glorify Him. He said, go down to Nineveh, He said, and preach unto it the preaching which I bid thee. I'm about tired of all the stories and everything else when you go in the house of God. Story, story, story. Give me the book. Thank God a man that can bring a story and wrap it into the book. There's nothing wrong with that. But thank God Paul told Timothy, he said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Hey, the book's right, ain't it? He said, preach the word. Said they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I'm told years ago, preacher, that there wasn't a preacher on every corner. They had to wait for them to come into town, the man of God come into town. That heaping, piling them up, heap to themselves. Teachers having itching ears. Man of God gets too hard, we'll get us an educated fella who knows how to market, and he knows how to rub the young people the right way, and he knows how to rub the seniors the right way, and he knows how to rub the ones with the money in their pocket the right way. And we'll just heap them up, and if we don't like him, praise God, there's a woods full of them with letters after their name. And they can tell you a good illustration. And they can tell you how long they drove so-and-so around in the big long car and took him to his meetings. And they can tell you all kinds of things, dear friend. But hey, I want the power and the presence of Almighty God when I preach. I believe this book right here's got the presence, don't you? We don't get back to preaching. He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their sin, and the house of Jacob their transgressions. You can't go to a lot of fellowship meetings if you preach against sin. He's just trying to be divisive. It might be he's trying to save somebody from death, and save somebody from ungodliness and unrighteousness, and from the snare of the devil. This is what happened. Man of God got to praying. He got back in the presence of God. And he got to preaching. Probably wouldn't be took too well if the man of God come in the church and said, 40 days and Grace Baptist Church is going to be overthrown. Well, preacher, you don't know how realize how much we put into this place. And when we got here years ago, you know, y'all with me? Hey, he told them the exact time, didn't he? We don't know the exact time. He said, yet 40 days. He told the exact time. Nineveh shall be overthrown. He told the exact terror. God is a God of terror. Amen? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He said that He told the exact time, He told the exact town, and the exact terror is going to be overthrown or thrown over, and that's what's taking place. Our nation's being overthrown by ungodliness and unrighteousness. Hey, we better, dear friend, the men of God and God's people better start praying, getting back in the presence of God, and dear friend, preaching, men of God, preaching. Then they started partying. Didn't they? They started partying.
Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed. Chapter 3, verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Well, they're getting started there, ain't they? You really believe God? I've seen people, boy, they tell you they believe God, and you stand up and preach it. They don't believe God that much, do they? We started a church, and this man come, and one Wednesday night he come in, and one Wednesday night he come to me after the service, and he said, "Will God forgive any sin?" I said, "He paid for all of them. He'll forgive any of them." He said, "You don't know how wicked I've been." I said, "You don't know how much the Lord paid, all of that." And he left out under conviction. He come back that Sunday and brought some people with him, and he didn't make a move. He come back that next Wednesday, couldn't even get in the church house. He said, "I've got to have forgiveness. I've got to have forgiveness." We went in the back room. He called on God. He called on the Lord. Holy Ghost had him ready. Gave him the exact words that he needed. All right. He didn't need my words. He needed what the Holy Ghost tell him out of the side of his heart, dear friend. That's what he needed. And if we'd leave sinners alone, it'd happen again. He come and he was there for a long time. And his son and this other man came and come to find out they was sodomites. And so I went to them and asked them about it. They said, "We've repented of it." And I said, "Well, if you've repented of it," they said, "it was years ago, we're sorry we did it." I said, "But why are you still living together?" They said, "Well, we've got... I said, if you repented of it, you ain't living together. Just like your sons and daughters shacked up, if they repented, they ain't living together." That's amen now, but in a back room trying to pastor a church, that ain't always amen, is it? Where was I at? They believe God. They believe God. Look what happens when you believe God. And proclaim the fast. And proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. They parted, they repented, and they parted from their fashions. Sackcloth wasn't the going fashion of that day. Ashes wasn't what they put on their faces and said, "Everybody look at me." Y'all with me this morning? They repented of their fashions. Hey, you's not going in Pentecost Baptist Church and see a woman's full leg all the way up to her knee. I promise I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or hurt anybody. I'm telling you, we are just more and more. One time I read, said, "You can tell the shape of a nation by the length of men's hair and the shortness of women's skirts." That didn't go good. We're so caught up in these fashions, aren't we? You young people so caught up in the fashions. I understand it's a hard thing. I understand it's a pressure. I'm not being naive. But I promise you, if you'll dress yourself, the Bible talked about being clothed in humility. Women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Not when they walk in the room, boom, everybody look at me. Oh, preacher, we can get it borderline. We can get it borderline, Bill. Well, preacher, you got to understand, they started doing it and they're independent Baptists and believe a King James Bible. You going to repent of them fashions or not? I'm just the doctor for the minute, all right? Just the physician for a little while. Just supposed to give the medicine. I've had to learn it myself. I'm glad men stood up and preached the right kind of clothes on me. I'm glad of that. Thank God. I thank God for those men. But you know what they did down in Nineveh? They said, "We're going to repent of our fashions." It said, from the greatest unto the least of them. If they had money enough to get great clothes, or they didn't have enough money hardly get anything, they said, "We're going to repent and put on these modest clothes, these fasting clothes, and the ashes." And dear friend, they're going to part with that and repent and turn to God. We're not willing to let go of it. We want the world so bad, we're going to hang on to it. Who can tell? I tell you this, God ain't going to till we repent. Especially us. Especially me. They repented of their food. Verse 6, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. Isn't that something? Maybe, man of God, we need to get off our throne down there at the house of God and do some repenting ourselves. Even the king. He arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him. We'll be good getting a pine thicket somewhere, but we're too afraid to get our knees dirty. We're too afraid to get down there with the bugs and all of that. He said he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. I say, men of God, we expect our people to do it. We ought to do it. Verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Hey, he repented. He said, we're going to repent. We're going to repent. We're going to fast. We're going to repent from our fashions. We're going to repent, dear friend, from the food. We live in a gluttonous society. It's hard, ain't it? Food's good. Hey, you just say, God, I'm not going to eat this whole day. I want to see your presence and power of God. You know what? It don't take great faith to get God to move. They's out there on that ship. He said it was little faith to come out there and wake him up. But he still calmed the storm, didn't he? Hey, that little faith didn't help them to make it through the storm. They are scared to death. And they said, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus got up. He said, oh, you have little faith. Or after he calmed the storm, he said, oh, you have little faith. Wherefore did you doubt? But he calmed the storm, didn't he? Hey, just a little bit of faith. You watch God move. We repent and pray and talk to God. Just making any sense this morning? I just need to sit down and be quiet. Hey, they repented. Their fashions, their food, they repented from their flocks. But you don't understand, my job's got me too busy for God to get rid of the job. Amen. You do better, poor as everything, and with the power of God on your life, dear friend, and God will provide, we'll have faith. They repented of their flocks. They said our flocks are not even, they're not going to drink water or eat. You can go about 3 weeks without eating food before you die. They say, evidently you can go further. The Lord went in 40 days morning. But you know how long you can go without water before you die? 3 days. This king was serious. He said, Jonah's preaching 40 days and Nineveh's going to be overthrown. He said, we're going to lay it on the line and say, God, if you don't turn this place around, if it doesn't change in 3 days, we'll just die of thirst. Y'all see that? They were serious, wasn't they? They were serious. Verse 9, he said, verse number 7, just to show you that, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. That's getting pretty serious, ain't it? Verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way. Well, we got this business. If I had a fellow that I was pastoring and he left because his grandson wanted to be a member of a Baptist church and he'd been sprinkled. And I was nice to him and I said, well, you got to understand, we believe the Bible teaches immersion. And I showed him he went down into the water. Into the water together. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. And they went down, both of them, into the water, and he baptized him. Well, that man come up, and he said, you shouldn't run him off. I said, you want me to lie to him? That's the truth. He's been deceived. I'm not deceiving him. They've deceived him. And he left and said, well, all the real men of God are dead and gone. He's sitting at his house this very day. I drive by there reading. He just sits there saying, all the real men of God are dead and gone. He told me this. He said, you're not that preacher that preached that funeral that I went to. I said, you want that preacher, not a pastor. That's what we've got in it. I guess I need to quit. How serious are we? Who can tell? I believe it's going to happen just like this, don't you? Y'all sleep?
Last time I preached this text, somebody fell asleep. My goodness. Verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? Who can tell? Do we really want revival? I never saw where Jesus, anybody that wanted something that He didn't give it to them, as long as it's something they needed and something that could benefit them. You've seen that? Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 10, and I'm done. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. I say, who can tell? Who can tell what God's going to do? Hope this helped you.